guess what? Guess what it's time for? Christmas. It's time for who? It's time for Jesus. Amen. Say, I'm ready for some Jesus.
I'm ready for some Jesus.
Man, y'all ready at home? Give me a thumbs up. Hey, I'm excited about today. We might be here a little bit. The message might be a little long, but it's good. It's good. God give us something good. And when you hear the title of it, the ones that are watching online that didn't hear it earlier, you're going to be like, what in the world does that got to do with Christmas? But we're going to find out. Amen. So y'all bear with me. I'll try to stay behind this thing as much as possible, because I still shouldn't be bouncing around that much. I thank Bruce for moving the pulpit back and forth for me. I appreciate that, brother. Hey, is everybody ready for Christmas?
Yeah.
Are you ready? You got all your packages done? No? You ain't got the packages done yet? Are you done shopping?
No.
No? That's all right. I'm not either. Apparently, I just figured out something about 20 minutes ago that I guess I need to go buy somebody this week. So when they get it later this week, they're going to be like, huh, that's what he was talking about. So that's all I'm saying. Could be a surprise. Amen. So I got a question for you. Is it okay to point fingers? Is it okay to literally point fingers? Or figuratively point fingers? Is it okay? That's the title of today's message again. Pointing fingers. When we get to the scripture again, the main scripture is going to come from the book of Luke, chapter 1, verses 5 through 17. Luke 1, 5 through 17. And we'll get to that here in just a minute. I'll have an NIV version that I'll be reading when we get to that. Amen. But again, is it okay to point fingers? To point literally and figuratively. There's a lot of pointing going on in the Nativity story, the Gospels, the rest of the New Testament, and in the Old Testament. What's that pointing all about? Guess what it's all about? Everybody said that pointing is all about Jesus. Amen. That pointing in those stories is all about Jesus. Our entire Bible, guess what it's about? Jesus. Amen. Our entire word is about Jesus. And about this time right now that we celebrate that he came to give us mercy, love, grace, and a way out of something that we can never earn ourselves. Amen. We have a little prelude scripture for you. Y'all like those, right? Before we get into main scripture. The first one comes, believe it or not, a Christmas message scripture out of the book of Job. Job 19, 15 through 27 says, I know that my Redeemer lives, and that in the end, he will stand on the earth. And after my skin has been destroyed, yet in my flesh, I will see God. I myself will see him with my own eyes. And not another. How my heart yearns within me. Woo! If that's not a prelude for God coming, for Jesus coming, I don't know what is. Amen? Also, Isaiah 9:6 says, for unto us a child is born, unto us a son is given, and the government shall be upon his shoulder, and his name shall be called Wonderful Counselor, the Mighty God, the Everlasting Father, the Prince of what?
Peace.
The Prince of Peace. Amen. Our Lord and Savior Jesus. Our Lord and Savior Jesus that came down for us. Amen. Again today we're going to be leading. Again today we're going to be reading in the book of Luke, chapter 1, verse 5 through 17. When you were a young child, did you ever hear your mom or dad say to you, stop pointing. It's not polite. Hey, now that we're an old adult, Do we ever hear our kids say, "Stop pointing. It's not polite." Hey, I would tell you, my mom would probably still tell me that now. Amen. Stop pointing. It's not polite. Every time we would go out somewhere, what would happen? We would see something that would catch our eye, and the first thing we'd be doing, hey, look over here. Whether it was bad or good. Amen. Sometimes when you went downtown Charleston back in the day, you seen stuff that you didn't want to see over under the bridges and everywhere in cars that you wasn't supposed to be around. And the first thing you did was, look over there. Wasn't good stuff, but you still pointing, wasn't it? And your mom be like, "Put your finger down, you're going to get a shot, you're going to get us killed, somebody's going to get in trouble." When they see you looking at them, you're pointing at them. Amen. Some things should not be pointed at. That's especially true when it's a person that you're pointing at. You can point at cars and vehicles or buildings all day long, but you shouldn't really point at a person, should you? But pointing isn't always bad. You might be pointing to a person that has some form of physical trait that is unusual, because you're trying to show a rescue person where somebody broke through the ice in the lake. That's a good time to point at it. Hey, there's the hole. Amen. To a cashier line in Walmart that has nobody in it. Well, right now, you can't get cashier lines at Walmart that don't have nobody in it because they ain't got no cashiers. Everybody's backed up on self-check. But everybody be like, "Oh!" Everybody love that right now, wouldn't they? If that cashier opened, somebody said, point it right there. You get out fast. You can get out a lot faster than you can waving on that self-check line. Amen. To a thief, and be pointing to a thief that's being chased by the police. To somebody standing on the roof of a burning building waiting to be rescued. That's good reasons to point at. And brother's up on the side of the roof. Somebody need to go get him. Brother fell, walking his dogs. Somebody need to go get him. Amen. Can I get an amen from somebody?
Amen.
There's reasons that you might point to a person. Some reasons are good and some are bad, aren't they? Amen. What's that? What's that in front of me? I'm not going to pick it up all the way. But y'all look at it. What is that right there? Huh? What's that called? Thank you. It's called a Bible. Who does it point to? Amen. Amen. Exactly. It points to Jesus. Please join me in your Bibles as we read Luke chapter 1, verses 5 through 17. And again, I have an NIV version. Let me pull that up here real fast. Y'all ready? Luke 1, 5 through 17. It says, "In the time of Herod, king of Judea, there was a priest named Zechariah who belonged to the priestly division," I'm not going to pronounce this right, "of Abijah. His wife Elizabeth was also a descendant of Aaron. Both of them," everybody say both of them. "Both of them were righteous in the sight of God, observing all of the Lord's commands and decrees blamelessly. But they were children because they were childless, because Elizabeth was not able to conceive, and they were both very old. Once when Zechariah's division was on duty, and he was serving a priest before God, he was chosen by lot, according to the custom of the priesthood, to go into the temple of the Lord and burn incense. And when the time came," am I reading it right? I am, sorry. I got confused there. I thought I was in the wrong scripture. Sorry about that. "And when the time came," I got lost now. Hang on. Sorry about that. Yep, verse 10. "And when the time for the burning of the incense came, all the assembled worshipers were praying outside. Then an angel of the Lord appeared to him, standing at the right side of the altar of incense. When Zechariah saw him, he was startled and was gripped with fear. But the angel said unto him, "Do not be afraid, Zechariah. Your prayer has been heard. Your wife, Elizabeth, will bear a son, and you are to call him John. He will be a joy and delight to you, and many will rejoice because of his birth. And he will be great in the sight of the Lord. He is never to take wine or other fermented drink, and he will be filled with the Holy Spirit even before he is born. He will bring back many of the people of Israel to the Lord their God. And he will go on before the Lord in the spirit and the power of Elijah, to turn the hearts of the parents to the children, and the disobedient to the wisdom of the righteous, to make ready a people prepared for the Lord." Let's pray. Heavenly Father, Lord, I thank you for your scripture this morning, Lord. Lord, I thank you for your message, Lord. As always, I ask you today, get Ronnie out of the way today, Lord. Allow your Holy Spirit to speak to me, Lord. Lord, may it be your words and not mine spoken, Lord. Lord, may you open our heart, mind, and soul to the message that you have for us today on this Christmas Sunday, Lord. Lord, we thank you for each and everything that you do, Lord. Lord, we thank you most importantly this day for sending our Savior to us, Lord. Lord, somebody that we can have a way out of a death, hell, and damnation that we can never earn on our own, Lord. Lord, I ask you to be with us through the rest of the message. In your name I pray. And everybody say it. Amen. So what do you see here? What do you see here in the story? We see an elderly priest with an elderly wife that are childless. We also see that they are righteous in the sight of our Lord. Amen. It was a great honor for Zechariah to be chosen to take the incense into the holy place in the temple. Gabriel refers to Zechariah, or appears to Zechariah. Gabriel is not there to impress Zechariah. Gabriel is there to startle and terrify him. Amen. How many of y'all like to get startled and terrified by the Lord every once in a while? Amen. It's a good thing. Gabriel was there for one purpose. One purpose. Gabriel was there to inform Zechariah that he and Elizabeth would have a child that they had not had before. Amen. They would have a child who would go on before the Lord in the spirit and power of Elijah to make ready the people prepared for the Lord. Amen. Are we prepared for the Lord? Are we? Zechariah knew exactly what that message meant. It meant that his son would be the forerunner of the long-awaited Messiah that the scriptures talked about that was coming. He did know that. He knew the Holy Scriptures. Amen. He knew that the son that he was about to have would point Israel to the Messiah. And that meant that the Messiah would soon be on his way. Amen. Gabriel was pointing John, who would point to Jesus. Pointing to John, who would point to Jesus. Sometimes it's okay to point. Amen. Sometimes it's okay to point. Just listen to John pointing to Jesus. John 1:29 says, "Behold, the Lamb of God, who takes away the sin of the world." Amen. That's pointing. That's pointing. Amen. That's pointing a finger, and that's good. Amen. Sometimes it's okay to point. Sometimes pointing is okay. Next, we see Gabriel again speaking to somebody that was definitely going to point to Jesus. We see him speaking to Mary. And it's recorded in Luke chapter 1, verses 30 through 32, where it says, "Gabriel said to her, 'Do not be afraid.'" Whew. I don't know. Somebody yells at me. An angel yells at me and says, "Do not be afraid." That's the first thing I'm going to head to. I'm going to be scared. Amen. But he said, "Do not be afraid, Mary. You will conceive and give birth of a son. And you are to call him," what?
Jesus.
You're to call him Jesus. He will be great and will be called the Son of the Most High. What was Gabriel and his message pointing at? Was it that Mary? Was it a Mary, a righteous woman? Nope. No, it wasn't, was it? Was it at the miracle of her virgin birth? Nope. Wasn't that either, was it? What was Gabriel pointing to? What was Gabriel pointing to? Guess what? Gabriel came to deliver a message about the coming Messiah. He was pointing to Jesus, amen? He was pointing to the Messiah who will be great and will be called the Son of the Most High. The Lord God will give him the throne of his father, David. And he will reign over Jacob's descendants forever. His kingdom will never, ever end. Amen. Gabriel was pointing to our Savior Jesus. Sometimes it's okay to point. Amen. Sometimes it's okay to point. Next we come to Joseph, who would be the earthly father of who?
Jesus.
Joseph would be the earthly father of our Jesus. In Matthew chapter 1, verses 20 through 21, it says, an angel of the Lord appeared to Joseph in a dream and said, Joseph, son of David, there's that statement again, do not be afraid to take Mary home as your wife, because what is conceived in her is from the Holy Spirit. She will give birth to a son, and you are to give him the name Jesus. Amen? Because he will save his people from their sins. Sorry. Joseph is about to make a decision based on partial information. An angel instructs Joseph in a dream. Joseph does not do as he was instructed. Is the angel to be praised? No. No, that's not the point. Amen. Is Joseph to be admired? Yeah, in some parts it is. But again, that's not the main point that we're talking about, is it? So what is the main point? What is the main point? Gabriel is pointing to Jesus. Amen. He's pointing to Jesus. Jesus, the Messiah, is coming. And he will save his people from all their sins. Guess what? He will save us from all of our sins. That was the point that Gabriel was trying to make. Amen? 2,000 years ago, or 2,000 and however many, to be factual, that's the point that he was making. And guess what? That's the same point today. That's the same point that we can live by today. Where else do we see angels in the nativity story? An angel appears to the shepherds with this message. Today in the town of David, the Savior has been born to you. He is the Messiah, the Lord. Amen. We love to think about the angel and the terrified shepherds and the great company of the heavenly host praising God and the manger and the swaddling clothes. Don't we? A lot of us get caught up in that. Amen. Even after we meet Jesus as our Savior, we still get caught up in that. Amen. They're all amazing, aren't they? But guess what? They're not the point. Amen. The clothes that Jesus had on and the manger that he laid in is not the point. He is the point. Amen. Jesus is the point. And again, pointing can be a great thing. Then the Magi come to worship Jesus and are warned in a dream not to return where? To Herod. They're warned not to return back to Herod. Did an angel warn them? It doesn't really say, does it? But that's not the point, amen? The point is Jesus and that perseveration of his life, of them not returning. Joseph is instructed by an angel in a dream two more times. The first message is a warning. And the warning is this: get up, take the child and his mother, and escape to Egypt. And stay there until I tell you. For Herod is going to search for the child to try to kill him. Herod was going to search for Jesus because he knew there was a little something up. He was going to try to search for Jesus to kill him. Amen? The second message is, get up, take the child and his mother, go to the land of Israel. For those who are trying to protect the child's life or trying to take the child's life are dead. Amen? Dead. So what's the point? Is it about the Magi? Nope. It's about the star that led him to Jesus. Amen? Is it about Joseph? Nope. It's about the angels who kept showing up in his dreams. The point is that Jesus is our Messiah. He was the Messiah back then when he came, and he's ours currently today. Amen? We have all kinds of forerunners that point to him, that point to Jesus. Amen? He was announced for his earthly father to care for him. He was announced for his mother to point to him. Amen. He was announced to the shepherds so they would go and point to him. He was protected by angelic warnings to the Magi and Joseph to protect the Messiah. Jesus is the focal point in all of those. In all of those, Jesus is the point. Amen? Everything else in these accounts is necessary to inform how Jesus' entry into the world took place. But it all happened so that we could see that our Savior Jesus was the point that we needed. Amen? It's all good and well, but it's just his birth, ain't it? It's all good and well, but it's just his birth. He had so much more work to do. Everything else in the four Gospels inform us about who he is, what he taught, how he lived, how sacrificial death that he gave for us. Amen? And his resurrection triumph over death. It points to Jesus, don't it? It points to Jesus. And again, sometimes it's good to point. Amen. And all the points, all the books in the New Testament follows the Gospels. It's all the same thing. It's all the same thing. They point to our Savior. They point to Jesus. We pray this so that the name of our Lord Jesus may be glorified in you. Corinthians 5:20 says, "We Christians are therefore Christ's ambassadors, as though God were making his appeal through us." We implore you on Christ's behalf, be reconciled to God. Do you know him today? Have you been pointed to him? Do you still want to get closer to him? Do you still need to make that first decision for him today? Amen? Are we so committed to God that he can make his appeal through us? Are we pointing to Jesus with our everyday lives and the way we live? Are we saying, be reconciled with God? Yahweh. I love that word. Yahweh. Everybody say Yahweh.
Yahweh.
Everybody at home, call me Yahweh. I know I haven't asked y'all done nothing for a little bit. Yahweh, the Lord himself, will give you a sign. The virgin will conceive and give birth to a son, and we'll call him Emmanuel. That was pointing 700 years into the future. Isaiah 9:6 tells us, "For unto us a child is born, unto us a son is given, and the government shall be upon his shoulder. And his name shall be called Wonderful Counselor, the Mighty God, the Everlasting Prince of Peace." Now these two are used for year after year, and they're wonderful scriptures about the Messiah that would come in the future. Amen. Here's the last common one for you. The book of Daniel, chapter 9, verses 25 and 26 says, "Know and understand this. From the time the word goes out to restore and rebuild Jerusalem until the anointed one, the ruler, comes, there will be 7 sevens and 62 sevens. Jerusalem will be rebuilt with streets and a moat during times of trouble. After the 62 sevens, the anointed one will be put to death." This is amazing. This is amazing. This is not just describe the fact that the Messiah would come, but it gives a timeline. Amen? It gives a timeline for him to come. The people of God, the people of Judah, are in captivity in the Medo-Persian Empire. Jerusalem is in ruins, and the temple has been completely destroyed. With Jerusalem in captivity, they cannot do anything or any rebuilding, but Yahweh the Lord moves in King Cyrus's heart to allow the rebuilding of Jerusalem and the temple. The time between the proclamation by King Cyrus until the crucifixion of Jesus is exactly that period of time that was foretold. This, of course, is not pointing to Jesus' birth, but to his death, amen, on the cross for all of our salvations. Sometimes it's okay to point, especially if it saves a life, amen, and especially if it saves a soul. If you're saved, if you're a devoted follower of Jesus Christ, then somebody must have pointed you to Jesus. Amen? If we're saved, 99.9% chance somebody else pointed us to Jesus. If you have, it may have been a grandparent, a parent, or a sibling, or a child, or a friend, or a stranger in the street, or a preacher on the radio. Yeah, they can still get people saved. Or a Gideon that was here last week, who left the Bible in the hotel room. But somebody, everybody say somebody.
Somebody.
Everybody home, comment somebody. But somebody pointed you to Jesus. And through that pointing, you realized your need for somebody to save you from your sins and for you to give your life to Jesus. If you're not saved, this may be the first time you've ever heard the good news that Jesus came to save you, that he was born and died to save you. Amen? Or you may have heard it 100 times, but have never responded to turning to Jesus, never pointed your life to Jesus in repentance and ask him to make you spiritually clean and holy. He can do that for you today. Amen? He can do that for all of us today. No matter what point we are in our lives. If you're saved, are you pointing to Jesus? Does your life point to Jesus? Does your words point to Jesus? Does your actions point to Jesus? Because a lot of times actions speak way louder than words do, don't they? If you claim to be saved and you're not pointing to Jesus, guess what? We desperately need to examine our spiritual life, don't we? To see if we really have a relationship with him or not. to see if we're pointing to Him. We have to point to Jesus. Amen? You may use other words, but the life of a Christian should always be saying, "Behold, the Lamb of God who takes away the sins of the world." Amen? Are you pointing to Jesus? Have you been pointed to Jesus? Are you ready for a further walk with Him? Amen? Let's go to prayer. If you need Him today, it's a perfect time to ask Him to come into your heart. If you haven't met Him before, if you're only halfway there, amen? If you've been saved and you're still struggling with truly being a child of God, truly pointing to Him in your heart, it's a good time. Pray in your seat, come to the altar, and pray at home. Amen? Let's pray. Heavenly Father, Lord, I thank You for getting me out of the way today, Lord. Lord, allow Your Holy Spirit to speak through me, Jesus. Lord, I thank You for Your message today, Lord. Lord, it was a little bit different than what a normal Christmas Day message would be, Lord. But the main thing was that we point to You, Jesus. You are our true salvation, Lord. Without You coming into the world all of those years ago, there would have been no chance for us out of the world, Lord. Lord, we thank You for each and everything that You do for us, Lord. We thank You for the blessings, Lord. Lord, we thank You for the Scriptures that You give us today, Lord. Lord, may You impress them on each one of our hearts today, Lord. Lord, that we might be able to point somebody else, like the ones that were saved, Lord, had done to them. That we might be able to point somebody to Jesus, Lord. Lord, we ask You just to put somebody in front of us this week, Lord. Lord, especially on this holiday season, Lord. Lord, that we can tell, no matter what they're struggling through right now, Lord, that we know a way out, Lord. We can point them to better living, Lord. Lord, we can point them to a happier life, Lord. Lord, we can point them to joy in the morning, Lord. Lord, all because we know that You died on the cross for us through Your Son, Lord, that You sent to us on that Christmas season all those years ago, Lord. Lord, we thank You for each and everything You do, Lord. In Your name I pray. Amen.